Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
What's up, everybody? My name is Pastor Jim, and I'm so glad that I get to be with you guys tonight. I want to say hello to our internet audience. Anybody watching on Facebook, let us know where you're watching from. And I appreciate Pastor Shane's compliment about my good-lookingness, but I have to say that I'm tired of people taking liberty to use the old age app on my face. It's coming for me soon enough. I don't need you to take that liberty. If you want to do your own face, that's fine. But how many have done the old age app that you take your picture and then you do what you're going to look like, I don't know, when you're 10 years or 20 years? If you haven't had somebody do your face yet, it's coming. Because it's like going viral right now. I've had 7 different people today send me what I'm going to look like, I don't know, in 10 years or 30 years or whatever. But I don't know even what the app is. I haven't downloaded it myself. So, hey, if you just want to punk a couple of your friends, just download that app and send them their picture. They'll not appreciate it. So there you go. I'm just messing with you guys. It's a great day to be in the house of God because God has a word for you. And I am loving the book of Psalms. I know we're done reading it in our daily readings, but we decided that we're going to take the whole summer and we're going to really just unpack some of these Psalms that are so quoted and so used in different circumstances. And I'm convinced that Psalm 46 is one of the most, if not the most encouraging psalms out of all the 150 psalms. And so tonight, we're going to look at it, and we're going to see how we might apply it to your situation that you're going through. Maybe you're going through a bad situation. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed. Maybe there's some trouble brewing in your life. Then Psalm 46 is going to speak directly into that space. I know that Shane already prayed And so I'm just gonna dive in. I'm gonna give you a little backstory before we jump into this psalm, because a lot of times when we're reading psalms, at least half of them are written by David. We know that. But there's some of the psalms, it's important to kind of know the backstory of what's happening when the psalm or the song is being written. And what we have in Psalms 46 through 48, they're known as the Trilogy of Triumph. And so just like we were singing these songs before we started the message portion of our service, we were singing these songs making declarations. So those songs that you were singing wasn't so that you would make God feel all warm and fuzzy all over, all right? Those songs were actually for you to declare to your soul on the greatness and the goodness of God for your life. He's always up to something good. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now, say, he is up to something good in your life. It's declaring something because we kind of get discouraged and overwhelmed in the circumstances that find their way into our life. And so Psalm 46 through 48, they're songs of hope and triumph that even though everything is kind of undoing itself in our life. And 46 talks about even the earth itself becoming undone. It says that there's still hope because God is with us. And if God is with us, then we're going to be okay. There's a confidence in God that oozes out of Psalm 46 through 48. And it really goes back to the time of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the king of Judah. Now, let me give you a little history lesson from the Bible in the Old Testament. Judah was the southern kingdom after it had a split. So it was Israel. And then after Solomon died and left it to his son, Rehoboam, there was a split in the kingdom, and it became Israel and Judah. Judah was the southern kingdom. Israel stayed as the northern kingdom. Now, as the history unfolded, Israel tended to be the more wicked of the kingdoms. But both of them had their times of being wicked and being good. But Hezekiah goes down in history as the most godly king that reigned in the time that the nation was divided and split in two and reigned as the king of Judah. And so they had all of these kind of enemies that were around them, always trying to gain more land and trying to, you know, bully all the surrounding nations. And then there was this empire called the Assyrian Empire. And they wanted to bully Israel. And they did bully Israel, and they came against Israel, conquered Israel, took all of the people into captivity and relocated them, and then they started coming against Judah. Now, when Hezekiah was the king, at first he was kind of appeasing the Assyrian king, and he was making sure that they were paying their taxes or whatever things that they were doing to keep the Assyrians as their friends. Well, as the kind of powers turned, there was a new king, Sennacherib, and he came into power. And so Hezekiah thought, well, you know what I'll do? There was a change in power, so I'm going to stop giving them their taxes. I'm going to stop giving them all of this kind of free stuff that we've been given just so that they won't mess with us. Well, they didn't like that, and so they said, Hezekiah, we're coming for you now, dude. And so here he is. He's the king of Judah. They're having this foe that was an empire come against them. And it says that they started besieging all of these surrounding villages in Judah to where they took over 200 villages, 200 cities, and they started taking all of these people into captivity, and pretty soon they surrounded Jerusalem. And so it was just going to be a matter of time before they took Jerusalem. And what we read in the book of 2 Kings, we read it in the book of Isaiah, and even in the book of Chronicles, we read this story about what's happening with Hezekiah. And it's important to know the story as we get into this psalm, because Psalm 46 through 48 are psalms that are written in direct correlation with how God moved for Judah and King Hezekiah in this story. I like how 2 Kings 19 verse 3 kind of summarizes the trouble that Hezekiah and Judah is in. It says this, it says, They told Isaiah, who was the prophet, he said, this is what King Hezekiah says. Today is a day of trouble, insults and disgrace. It is like when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver the baby. Now, this is a very descriptive scene. He's like, we have nothing left in us. I don't know how many of you women out there have went through childbirth, but it could be a process. I know a couple of our babies came out in like a couple hours. One of them, I can't remember which one, we were in there for a little while. Friends of mine visiting them, hey, you're going into labor. 2 days later, they have the baby. Can you imagine being in labor for 2 days? Somebody out there is like, yep, that was me. You know, it's just crazy to think like that. So this is Hezekiah going, I'm in deep trouble, and there is no gas left in my tank to deal with this problem. Can you relate to Hezekiah's feelings right now? Is there some trouble that has creeped up in your life, and maybe there are multiple things going wrong in your life, and you're just kind of doing an inventory inside going, I don't know how I'm going to get through this because I'm exhausted. This thing is just like encompassing my life. It's overwhelming me. It's drowning me. This is Hezekiah. Matter of fact, Isaiah comforts him and says, hey, God gave me a word. You're going to be okay, buddy. And then after this, the king sends some messengers and says, hey, who told you that you're going to be okay? Because all these other nations that we've conquered, they all had gods too. None of their gods were able to stop us. So who is your God that he'll be able to stop us? So he takes this letter that his messengers got, and he's overwhelmed. He's got this confidence because the prophet told him, like, you're going to be okay. But he doesn't know what to do because the circumstances are saying just the opposite. Have you had somebody tell you, like, hey, you're going to be okay, and then the circumstances are like, uh-uh, they're not okay. You're not going to be okay. So there was a little battlefield of the mind going on with Hezekiah. And it says that he took the letter, and he went before the Lord, and he just laid out the letters and just laid them out, laid out the pages. And I don't know if he did this, but I can just imagine that he just like just got down and said, God, if you don't move right now, we're in deep doo-doo. God, we need you to move for us. I don't even know how to pray. Have you ever been in so much trouble you didn't even know how to pray for it? This is where Hezekiah is at. And now what happens is a miracle takes place because after he starts pleading for God to get involved, Isaiah comes back and says, hey, God just called me and said he wanted me to tell you that he heard your prayer and that he's going to take care of your problem for you. So can you imagine being Hezekiah going, but how? I mean, there are over 185,000 people right now, warriors, surrounding Jerusalem, and they're about ready to come in. They're being bullies right now, telling us that, you know, how they're going to hurt us, and God's just going to take care of them. And then what happens is during the night, something takes place. The Lord supernaturally moves. And in one night, as they started waking up, as Judah in the Jerusalem starts looking out to all of these warriors that were surrounding their city, they were all dead. 185,000 men completely dead. And the king of Assyria who was there that was ready to kind of get a spoil, he takes off. He leaves. He's like, okay, all these other gods, they weren't as powerful as this God of Judah, so I am out of here. And he left. Now, why is this important? Because God is always greater than your greatest problem. Can I say that one more time? God is always greater than your greatest problem. And I know that there are problems represented in here. I know there are problems represented on Facebook. I see some of your posts. I know the surgeries and I know the funerals. I know some of the tragedies that are in some of your lives, and my heart aches for you. And as bad as that trouble is, I'm here to declare to you that God is greater than whatever it is that you're currently going through. And that's what Psalm 46 is all about. So let me just ask you this. You know, I know that there are things besides, you know, just problems in your life. There's things that just stress you out. I was looking at one survey about things that are the most common stressors in Americans, and it gave the top seven, and I think they have the slide up here, and I don't know if you're going to be able to read this, but it's really small. The number one cause of stress in the United States is job pressure. So some of you know that. Maybe it's just a bad environment where you work at, or maybe you don't work at all, and so you don't know, you know, if you're going to have a job, and so it could be coworker tension, bosses, or just being overworked. And somebody said all the above. That's true too. All right. Second is money. How many of you have had some time this week where you've been stressed out about money? And that could be a loss of a job, reduced retirement, medical expenses. It could just be Amazon Prime Day. I mean, it could be It could be a lot of stuff. It could be the fact that maybe in your younger days you weren't really good with your money, and now it's, you know, you're trying to get your head above water with all the debt, maybe, you know, school loans, or maybe even for some of you that, you know, you've been divorced a few times, you got child support payments and alimony and your wages are being garnished, and it's just like, man, am I ever gonna get ahead financially? It can really stress you out. Third is your health. It could be a health crisis, terminal or chronic illness. Chances are there's about 25% of you in this room tonight that are dealing with some kind of a health thing. Maybe you got some excessive pain. Maybe there's other things going on. And, you know, some of you, God bless you, you went on WebMD and you diagnosed yourself. And you're dying in 3 months. You won't go to the doctor. Everyone's telling you, just go to the doctor. I don't know how many times I've had some dark thought bubbles in my mind with something medical going on inside of me. And I go to the doctor and he's like, Jim, you're fine. This is no big deal. And one thing, I did go to the doctor. One thing that I was having an issue with, colon cancer runs in my family. My dad had it. I was feeling some pressure, and so I went to the doctor and did a colonoscopy, and they found a precancerous polyp, and they took care of it, and he said if that guy had went unchecked, he could have turned into colon cancer down the road. So pre-screening is super important. So why sit there in bed at night and stress over something that you can just go to the doctor and, you know, just make sure that, you know, you get preventative care, right? So I don't know who I'm speaking to. Maybe I'm saving somebody from cancer tonight. I don't know. Number four, relationships. Come on, somebody. How many of you have been stressed out over a relationship in your life lately? It could be a it could be a spouse, it could be a kid, it could be a parent, it could be my whole family. Yeah, it could be your whole family. Right in time for your family reunion. Like, really? Thanksgiving was enough. Why did somebody have to organize a family reunion, right? God bless them. But relationships can stress you out. It can overwhelm you. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you've been getting told by your spouse that they're going to divorce you, and you're living under this constant fear. Can you play a little head game with that person that keeps telling you they're going to divorce you and say, would you please, because I'm tired of you just telling me about it, and would you just do it? Because I'm not going to live under this fear of what you're doing. And you'll probably shut them up. But can I tell you, if you are an authentic follower of Jesus, can I just speak this to you? In your marriage, you should never bring up the word divorce. Amen. It shouldn't even be in your vocabulary. And I know things get heated. I know there's conflict because you married a sinner. And your spouse married a sinner. And so you get two sinners living under one roof. It's going to create problems. But when you, as a follower of Jesus, declare that I am with this person until death do I part, there's no off-ramp. So quit yelling about the off-ramp in the midst of your conflict. That wasn't even on my notes. I don't know why. And just for the record, I have a great marriage, so I'm not like getting my stress out on you, all right? Okay. You're like, what
is up with Pastor and his wife? I don't know.
Poor nutrition. That's not talked about enough, I think. But, you know, inadequate nutrition, caffeine, processed foods, refined sugars, media overload. Hello. I think this is a couple years old. That might have jumped up a little bit. Media overload is definitely causing stress. We check our phones constantly. I have a video for you later. Sleep deprivation is number 7. So these are just common stresses that left undealt with can actually rob you of the life that God wants you living with now. That, I mean, it can rob you. There's life and peace that are promised to you when you follow Jesus. We talked about last week, when you make Jesus your good shepherd, it says, surely goodness and loving kindness follow me. They literally chase you as you chase Jesus. So what happens, these stresses come in your life and they block those things from moving through you. And so what does Hezekiah do? He gets a hold of God. God changes his circumstances supernaturally. And now, let's read Psalm 46. And now we have it in context. We know what's going on. More than likely, most Bible scholars believe this was written in this idea of what's going on with the king of Assyria making his threats against his life. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Can we just do something? I'm just feeling, I want to go off script here tonight. I want to do something that I don't know churches do. Can you just get your phone out for a second? Can you do something? Can you, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, show us a friend or family member that needs to hear this? And right now, whoever comes to your mind, would you just text them this? And you could tell them Psalm 46:1. Let's personalize this. Put, God is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in your trouble. Can you do that for me right now? Let's just declare to somebody that is, maybe they are here. Maybe their phone's going to blow up about 5 text messages right now. But let's just bless somebody right now and remind them, because they may be overwhelmed right now. Maybe even right now as I'm talking about that, you're remembering somebody that let you know last week that, hey, they're feeling just this overwhelming sensation. I want you to personalize this. Type, God is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in your trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1. And just hit send right now. Just hit send, okay? And if they text you back, don't start texting them, all right? Just like, all right? And then it says, therefore, we will not fear. Anytime the word therefore is there, it's referring to what was before it. So it's because God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble, we're not going to fear. Though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And then it says Selah in the New American Standard. If you have a King James, it has this word Selah. And I'll get to that in a moment, the significance, because in these 11 verses that make up Psalm 46, this is in there 3 times. So it's like, what is this? And remember, this is a song that they're singing in a proclamation of triumph to remind their soul that they shouldn't fear. Why? Because God is our refuge. He's our safe place. He's the place that we retreat to when we have people and things coming against our life. He holds us. He makes sure that we're safe. He's our strength. That means that sometimes when I'm feeling weak, God picks me up and he's strong and he's able to allow me to complete something that I'm too weak to be able to do on my own. And he's a very present help in trouble. And I like this idea of a very present help. The word present in the Hebrew language is the word matzah, and it means is found or has been found. Now, I love this because the idea of he's very present means that he's close by. And that's comforting, like, hey, God is close by in my trouble. But some scholars translate it differently than just being close by. They translate it, he is found. He's found in the trouble. In other words, he's proven that he's there. It's like a proof. He's found. In other words, there's confidence in God because as I have lived my life for God, he has shown up for me over and over and over again. He has been found in the midst of my trouble. Have you had an experience with God where he showed up in a previous problem that you had? Maybe you came to church and you were dealing with the problem, and the pastor spoke exactly about that problem. And you're like, whoa. And maybe there was even a solution. Maybe somebody blessed you financially in a financial problem, and you're like, I didn't even tell anybody I had a financial need, and somebody just gave me this money. This is crazy. So this experience with God stacks up. And what God is doing is that he's increasing your faith. The Bible says that faith is a substance. And that as you are increasing your faith tank, so goes your confidence in God when you get into your next bit of trouble. Because I hate to give you bad news that your troubles aren't over. As long as you're on this broken planet, the trouble is going to continue to come. But what God wants to do is he wants to prove himself to you so that the next trouble that you go through, you can go back in your mind and go, man, I remember last time that I was going through this situation at work, God handled it for me. I prayed, he showed up, he confirmed what I was supposed to do, he gave me a word, and I stepped out, and it happened. It was so awesome. Those experiences with God are invaluable. And I don't ever want you to just negate them or just take them for granted. You should have a God story journal. Because as you walk with God, I guarantee you, he's showing up. And it's so easy to forget the God stories and remember all of the trouble. You got to remind yourself of the God stories so that you will be confident that you're going to get through this trouble. I just got to tell you, you can go to Target, Walmart, one of these places and buy a little journal for $3. Keep it in your car. Keep it with you at work. And then anytime, just write it down. I love the iPhone because it has a little notepad on there. I have a God story note that I just continue to add, like a little diary. And I enter the date and I put down the God story. So why? Because I know I forget a lot of these little things that God does for me. And every little thing that God does for me is a reminder that God is going to get me through my trouble. So let me give you this little nugget, all right? So I have it on a slide. Knowledge is important, but experience with God is essential. Knowledge of God is important. I don't want to downplay knowledge of God. I mean, that is important. You should know your Bible. You should know what it says. But even more than knowledge, God wants you to experience him and write it down and know that the same God that healed your marriage, the same God that showed up and got you through that financial situation, the same God that took care of Fido when you thought he was going to die, is the same God that is going to meet you in your trouble today. Your level of stress is directly related to how much confidence you have in God. If you're stressed out tonight, that means that you don't have a lot of confidence in God. But those experiences, that very present help, stacks up. Let's go to verse 4 and 5 because we're just getting to the good stuff and I got to play a video for you. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. See, God is in the midst of her. There's a river. There's so many references to God being like a river, more even in the New Testament to the Holy Spirit being like a river. I got a river of life flowing out of me. How many remember that song? Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I got a river of life. Am I the only one that knows the song? Spring up, oh well. All right, a couple of you knew it. All right. This is an old song. But the river is God moving in your life. And so what Psalm 46 is like, hey, when the river is going, we have evidence to point to us that God is in the midst of us. And if God is in the midst of us, we're going to be okay. In Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, there's this story where there's a storm brewing and Jesus is on the boat. You guys remember the story. And there, the disciples are freaking out and they go wake up Jesus. And he's like, why are you waking me up? And they're like, we're going to die. How can you sleep? And so Jesus gets up and he goes and calms the storm. He rebukes them for their little faith. And then he goes back to sleep. In other words, when God is in your life, when the storm is raging, you know that no matter how big the waves are, no matter how gnarly the wind is, you are going to be good, my friend. You're going to be good. What's the worst thing that happened to me? I can die. Well, you know what? When God is in your boat, when you die, it's actually the best thing because then you live. So, I mean, come on, this is so important. Make sure the water is not constricted. The devil loves to put kinks in our rivers. And the biggest way to keep that river from flowing and reminding you that God is in your midst is sin. Sin is not going to keep you from heaven, but sin will make it very difficult for you to remember that God is in your life. And the devil is relentless about trying to get at you and try to, it's called quenching the spirit. And it's important for us to understand that Satan's strategy is to try to get you to sin so that you will stop reminding yourself that God is inside of you. Matter of fact, some of you sin this week and maybe you're like, man, God's done with me. I got to get resaved again tonight. That's why I'm at church. I'm ready for the altar call so I can get saved. You know, so come on, preacher, let's do it. I need to get resaved because I'm not going to heaven. Listen, who is capable of snatching you out of the Father's hand? Nobody. When you are with God, you are with God. And nobody can take you out of his hand. Not your sin, not your shame. You are with God, but I gotta move here. Verses 7 and 11. Verses 7 and 11, all right. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. I'm just gonna comment one thing, that he's with us, but it says here, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. It is not the God of Israel here. This is, And I don't know, maybe Judah had a problem saying the word Israel. They're like, you know, because they had a problem with Israel. But I think it's more has to do with the fact that Jacob shows our humanity, that we fall short. Because Jacob, before he had this really strong conversion with God in this wrestling match that changed his name, he was the deceiver, he was the conniver, he was the heel catcher, he was the liar, he was the cheater. And so this is maybe their way of identifying the fact that, hey, we're like Jacob, and God wasn't willing to reject Jacob. He brought Jacob in, and it says the word Selah there. And I just have to say that the word Selah being there three times is important because it means to stop. It means to pause. And it goes really well with verse 10, which is why Psalm 46 is so well known. And this is what verse 10 says. It says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Be still and know that I'm God. I tell you that a big reason a lot of us are feeling overwhelmed right now is we haven't been experiencing some Selah in our life. We haven't been still enough. You know, I was reading an article, it says that we went from the Iron Age to the Industrial Age to the Informational Age to the Age of Interruption. That we're constantly being interrupted. In other words, we're constantly being distracted. And the word know God there is to discover or to perceive. It's like, be still and perceive and discover God. Like, that's the idea. But we're in an age of interruption so that it's very difficult because we're constantly being distracted. And I believe one of the devil's biggest tools to keep you from experiencing the peace of God for your life is distraction. And he's constantly trying to distract us. You've got to understand that distraction is keeping you from really tuning in to knowing God. I think of the scripture in Genesis where Jacob was having this moment with God. He says this in Genesis 28. He says, surely the Lord is in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. When you know that God is in your midst, it changes everything. You're not overwhelmed anymore. When you know God is in your midst, he brings that peace. And I think as we end our time tonight, I just want you to know that God is giving us a word to be still. To be still. To practice Selah moments where you pause and you praise and you just like take it in and understand that life, if you let it, can distract you to the point that you stop discovering the fact that God is in your midst and he's doing something with your circumstances that's beautiful. And if you don't Selah, if you don't be still, and really that word in the Greek language or in the Hebrew language means to put your hands down. It means like, don't, matter of fact, one Bible scholar I was reading says it's kind of a rebuke. One version says, cease striving. Like, stop trying to take care of this problem on your own, in other words. And Hezekiah, for a moment, tried to do that with bringing Egypt in. He's like, hey, I can't take care of this bully, so I'm going to go get my cousin, and my cousin's going to come in, and my cousin's going to show him what's up. And God's like, no, both you and your cousin now are going to get beat up. You need to turn to me. Don't just try to take matters in your own hand. How many of you have ever tried to take matters in your own hand? It's like, God, I've got this, and you actually made the matter worse. The Bible's word to us is to be still, put your hands down, take your hands off the control, and God says, I've got this, and I can do so much better taking care of your enemy than you would be able to do on your own. Be still, Selah, and know that I'm God. I'm out of time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, so much, Lord, that you are our refuge. You're our strength. You're our very present help in trouble. And God, I know there's some people here tonight that are in trouble. God, would you let them feel your river here tonight? Lord, let them feel your Holy Spirit moving through them tonight, that you are in their midst. And God, if we've tried to make things right, but we've actually made things worse, then God, we repent tonight. And we want to put our hands down. We want to be still. We want to pause, and we want to discover and perceive what you're doing in our midst and how you want to solve this issue, how you want to take care of this trouble. Tonight, God, I pray that you would take care of our enemies. And our enemies doesn't have to be a person. They could be an attitude. It could be a sin. It could be some kind of emotion. that is destroying our life. But God, we give it to you tonight. And we know that, God, we have nothing to fear, for you are with us.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.